Thank you, Dee. Appreciate that. And appreciate you singing. You memorize all your songs, Dee?
Yes.
That's just amazing. Knows all these words, all this. I've never seen her use any cheat notes unless they're real tiny. And she's got them hidden, or maybe she writes them on the palm. I don't know, because I'm always looking. And she memorizes all those songs. What a blessing that is. And I sure appreciate it. And it ties right in with the message, and I'm not surprised at all, because that's how God works. Nehemiah chapter 4, Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 13. Yes, we have moved past verse 12. We have been verses 1 through 12 now for, I think, a couple of months, and we now move past verse 12 to verse 13. And we will actually cover verses 13 to 15. I'm not going to guarantee we won't go back to one of those verses in the next few weeks, but you just never know. It's all good. Amen. Nehemiah 4, verse 13. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles, to the rulers, to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. Father, I pray that you will bless the preaching tonight. Thank you for the music. Thank you for preparing our hearts. Now, I pray we'll listen carefully to what you have for us from your word. Please challenge us. I pray if there's anyone here that's not saved, I pray they would realize their need for salvation. Lord, that they would trust Christ, they'd be saved tonight. And I pray especially for Christians that you'll give us victories tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I've entitled this section, this message tonight, I've entitled it, What the Enemy Heard, taking verse 15 as our text. It says, it came to pass when our enemies heard. And I just thought about that quite a bit. What the enemy heard. Well, what is it they heard? I mean, obviously, whatever they heard, Nehemiah and the people were able to go back to work. Obviously, whatever they heard, they backed off. Obviously, whatever it was they heard, whatever it was they saw, whatever took place here in their lives, the work was resumed. The people went back to work. And I got curious about what the enemy heard. You see, outside the wall, the enemy was assembling. Verses 7 and 8, which we've already looked at, I couldn't help but go back to it, though. It says, it came to pass when Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabians, and the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up, and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. Notice what it says, and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. And so this army, this huge group of people, they have all come together, the Arabians, the Ammonites, the Ashdodites, whatever groups, Sanballat, Tobiah, they could get together. And these people that were all against the walls of Jerusalem being built, they are all assembling now outside the wall. And inside, though, we already looked at this in verse 10. Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. There's much rubbish, so we are not able to build the wall. So the enemy now is assembling outside the wall. And the inside the wall, the people are becoming very tired. The rumors are now flying from outside that the enemy is out there. The adversaries are all gathered. They're mocking them. They're making fun of their wall. They're telling them their wall's going to fall down. I mean, all of this is going on. So on the outside, the enemy, their huge army, and if you could imagine at night, perhaps somebody's on top of the wall and they're watching out there and keeping an eye on the land out there. They see out there, they see all the fires, all the campfires of the tents and the encampments of all the enemy. And certainly assembling out there is a great army that is wanting to overrun the wall and overrun the people behind that wall. And on the inside, the people are tired. On the inside, the people are starting to be a little discouraged. On the inside, the people are starting to become a little fearful. If the enemy detects that fear, if the enemy detects that discouragement and the fact that they're becoming wore down. That's what the enemy wants. They say their words, they make their threats, they do all those things to try to wear down the people of God here. And if they detect there's fear, if they detect that there's confusion, if they detect discouragement, they'll attack. They will attack. Understand this, when the enemy detects weakness, the enemy attacks. Look at 1 Peter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter 5, 8. We're going to go back and forth from there a couple of times here. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, in a familiar verse, one that we use quite often, and it is so true. But I want to show you something in here that maybe you've never thought about before. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Now do not misunderstand. Whoever he wants to devour, I mean, if he wants to devour somebody, that is his goal. I mean, he is out to devour. He is out to devour a teenager. He is out to devour our young people. He is out to devour our homes. I mean, he is looking for people to devour. But I think it's always interesting when I read this that the Bible says he's a roaring lion. He's a roaring lion. You know why the lion roars? The lion roars to scare the prey. The lion roars to boast that he's the king of the beast. But when the lion wants to devour, the lion devours. When the lion's roaring, though, he's trying to scare people. When the lion's roaring, he's trying to scare the deer or the animal out there. He's trying to let them know, I'm the king of the beast. He's trying to scare another animal that may be trying to be in that area, a wolf or some other kind of an animal. And the lion's roar is trying to scare. You know, the devil, like a roaring lion, he wants to scare us. I mean, he can roar and he can make his boast, and just like the people here in Nehemiah, he can do all he can. And if the enemy detects any kind of fear or weakness on their part, or maybe even a willingness to give in, they're going to attack. You know, that's how it is in our lives as well. Satan's trying to scare us, and he's looking for weakness. He's looking for discouragement. He's looking for you to say, you know, I'm about ready to quit. I just can't take it. You know, he's looking for that very thing. You know, most of what church is all about is we're up here cheering away, trying to help you and encourage you and exhort you. Keep going. Don't quit. Keep going. Stand up to the devil. Keep going. Don't be discouraged. Don't be down. Don't be anywhere near quitting. Certainly don't show him any kind of weakness at all. He's trying to scare us. Look at 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. And again, a verse that is often quoted. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." You see, Satan is roaring, trying to get you to be afraid. Satan is roaring and backs you into a corner and tries to get you to fear. He's looking for your weakness. He's looking for you to be weak. He's looking for you to submit to him. He's trying to scare us. God has not given us a spirit of fear. God has not given. In fact, it's totally the opposite. He's given us a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. The devil loves to scare us into submission and surrender. He wants us to submit to him. By the way, that's why you give in to sin so often. That's why we submit to Satan and to the flesh and to the world. We submit to those things. We surrender to those things. It's not worth the fight, preacher. It's always worth the fight. Amen. It is always worth the fight. Nehemiah's people, all these men behind these walls, they could have easily said, okay, we're tired, we're exhausted, we're wore out, and it's just not worth it. And that's what the enemy was looking for. It's exactly what they were looking for. Hey, wait a minute, the wall is partially built here. I mean, there's been progress. The work is being done. Everybody's working well. But listen to me, the enemy out there, they're all assembling out there, and they're waiting to find out what you're going to do. They're waiting. They're watching. You know, I think about someone, you got saved, you got baptized, you're walking with God, you're starting to do some things right, you come to church every now and then. You know what? The devil starts making his threats. The devil starts bringing on his temptations, and he starts bringing on his trials and starts to attack you. And you know, what is he looking for? He's just watching you to see what you're going to do. He's just watching to see how you're going to react. Oh, he'll assemble outside your wall, and he'll threaten to break down that wall. And he'll threaten to take you down, and he'll threaten to hurt you, and he'll do everything he can to get you to just say, you know, it's not you, it's not worth it. I'm not going to fight. I'm just going to surrender. I'm going to give in. I'm going to tell you something. The key thing here is this word, resist. Do you understand? The wall is partially built, but here in verses 13 to 15, which really doesn't look like a crisis, I submit to you tonight, it is a crisis. The enemy is outside the wall. They're gathering, and the crisis is they're waiting to see what are the people going to do inside that wall. We have made our threats. We have used our plan to the fullest. We have our own threats that we've made toward them. We have their own people that are turning against them. All these things, the Bible says, they did all they could to hinder it. They said, we've put our plan together. We're assembling. We've let them see our campfires. We've let them see all of our tents. They know we're out here. Now we'll just see what they're going to do. By the way, by the time you get to verse 10, it looks like they're going to give in. Because Judah, who are the leaders, they're tired. They're exhausted. We just can't keep going. You ever feel like that? I guarantee you, there's people in this room right now, you've tried to do right, and you're saying tonight, I'm just tired. I'm just tired. Yeah, understand, the enemy is watching you. The roaring lion, you got tired of his roaring? You've gotten exhausted? He's wore you down by his roaring? Listen to me. You need to resist. It is not time to give in. It is not time to quit. It is time to resist and keep resisting. Look at James 4, verse 7. James 4, 7. Again, another familiar verse, but one that we need to know as Christians. We need to think about it. We need to memorize it. We need to use it often. The Bible says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist the devil and he will flee. In crisis, resist the devil. In temptation, resist the devil. When the enemy is gathering, they are looking to see what are you going to do. When Satan gathers his legions together, they're waiting to see what will you do. They want you to wave the white flag of surrender. They want you to quit. They want you to compromise. They want you to give in to sin. Resist! Because here the enemy's outside the wall, they're watching. They're waiting. They're wondering, have we gotten to them or not? Oh yeah, the enemy's gathering. The question is, what will they see? The question is, what will they hear? What will they hear? I love verse 15. It came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. What the enemy heard. This is all still introduction. What'd they hear? They heard there was resistance. That's what they heard. They heard that somebody was standing. That's what they heard. They heard that Nehemiah wasn't going to give in. They heard that their plan didn't work. They heard that all the fear that they tried to bring upon the people, it didn't work. They heard that Nehemiah was standing. The people were not fainting. The people were not quitting. The people were not compromising. The people were, in fact, resisting. They were resisting. Now I'm going to tell you, folks, resist the devil and he will flee. He's just watching you. You know, I mean, you come to the altar on Sunday and get things right, and on Monday, by the time Monday comes, you're back doing the same old things. Look, this isn't a Catholic church where you come and confess your sins to some priest or somebody. This is a place where you come to God, and when you come to God, you leave it there, and you get right with God, and you live right for God, and you resist every day.
Amen.
I mean, I'm not talking about coming and confessing something. God bless you, child. Amen. I'm not talking about coming and you confess something so you feel good about it. We're not doing it to feel good about it. We're doing it because we're in a war and we're letting the devil know I'm serious about this thing. I will resist you. You know, so many people come and you'll make a decision knowing that tomorrow you're going to go out and do that same thing. That's Catholicism. That's not what God's looking for. Now, I want you to keep coming. I want you to keep praying. But understand this. It's time to get serious about that thing. It's time to say, I will resist. I'm going to make my stand for the Lord. I'm going to make my stand against the devil and against the world and against my own flesh. I'm going to say to my flesh, I resist you. I resist the temptation to sin. I'm going to fight that thing. I'm not just going to give in. There's people that make decisions week after week after week, and I mean, it's not the end of the service, and your mind is back in the gutter where it once was. And you don't even fight it. It's just automatic. Well, I'll pray about it. I know God will forgive me. And you don't even resist the thing. It's time we resist. Because the enemy is watching to see what we're going to do. And as the lion roars, he's waiting to see how you're going to respond. Did you flinch? Oh, did I see a flinch there? Rah! Oh, did I see him flinch a little bit? They ducked just a little bit. Hey, you know, let's keep at it. Keep at it. Keep at it. But I'll tell you what, God says resist the devil and he'll flee. And if you stand up there and you say, I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to surrender. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to compromise. You know what? After a while, he leaves. Now, he'll be back. But resist the devil and he'll flee. Nehemiah decided, I'm not giving in. He resisted like Jesus did in Matthew chapter 4. He resisted three times. Three times he was tempted. Three times he gave the devil scripture. Three times he overcame the temptation with the word of God, the weapon that God has given us, his word. Jesus used it in Matthew chapter 4. David used it against Goliath. He resisted Goliath. Goliath stood there, mocked God, mocked God's people. And Goliath stood there and said, who will come at me? David said, where is everybody? Is there not a cause? And he resisted. Can David beat Goliath? Not normally. Does David stand a chance against Goliath? Not really. But he stood. He resisted. That's all. Do you know God is just looking for somebody that'll stand up? I love it when Ezekiel says, I'm looking for a man that'll stand in the gap. Just stand in the gap. That's all. You say, what's the big deal? Well, you stand in the gap. That's where the storms will blow on you. That's where the rain will hit you. That's where the hail will hit you. That's where the snow will hit you. That's where the lion comes in. That's where the bear comes in. That's where all the wild animals come in to get the sheep. They come to the gap. God said, I just want you to stand in the gap. Who will stand in the gap? David did, and he killed a lion. David did, and he killed a bear. That's why Goliath wasn't such a big deal to David. David was used to standing. David was used to resisting. David was used to saying, hey, my God will take care of me. All he asks of me is that I resist. And he'll take care of it. Amen. That's why Ephesians 6 says to put on the whole armor of God. But it says this, it says after you put on the whole armor of God, having done all, stand. I mean, once you've done it all, just stand. Stand. And then it's up to God. Amen. I'm so tired of folks giving in because the enemy's watching to see what you're going to do. Don't you get any idea that the enemy's not gathered all around here in satanic force all around this property just waiting, watching to see what's going to happen. Oh yeah, the lion roars. Just waiting to see. Having done all, stand. Like Shema in what I call the Garden of God when the Philistines came and it was God's garden and he said, you know what? He said, you're not going to get this garden. And he stood and he fought all those Philistines in the garden of God. Like Shamgar beating 600 Philistines with an ox goad. Amen. I mean, you know, he just stood. I mean, one man cannot kill 600 Philistines with an ox goad, except he was there and he said, I will not move. And God said, I can use a fellow like that. God, look, Shamgar didn't do that on his own. Samson didn't kill all the Philistines on his own. Shema didn't kill all those Philistines in the garden. And the same thing about David with Goliath. It was just they said, I'll stand. And God took care of the rest. You know, it's time to let the devil know. It's time to let the demons know. Time to let your enemies know. Let your flesh know you're resisting. I'm going to resist. Resist the devil. And he will flee. Don't be shocked that this is a war. You know, don't be shocked. I'm preaching, you're talking about it is war. Look at 1 Thessalonians 3:3. I'm still on the introduction. The introduction's long, the message is short. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 3. Notice what it says, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Notice, no man should be moved by afflictions. No man should be moved by affliction. You say, I'm going through some trials. I mean, Satan's attacking me. I feel his darts going into me. Preacher, you don't understand. Do not move. That's where compromising comes from. We're not to move. No man, he said, should be moved by these afflictions. Look what he says. For yourselves know that we are, what's that word? Appointed thereunto. It's an appointment. It is an appointment. We know there's going to be afflictions. We're in a battle. We're in a battle. I was reading a little article about some fellows that were injured in war, and one fella, you know, very very clearly, this is a man who's got a brand, you know, he's got a prosthesis where he had a leg at one time and had his leg blown off, and this guy said, I've wanted to be in the military all my life. I knew that I could give my life. I knew what I was getting into. Hey, look, we're in a battle. Satan hates you. Satan's out to ruin your life. He's out to destroy you. He's after your children. He's after your grandkids. He's after our bus kids. He's after our vacation Bible school. He's after our teenagers. He's after our Christian school. Satan is, he fights dirty. He's nasty. And he's after us. What are you going to do, preacher? I'm going to resist. I'm going to resist. I'm going to stand and I'm going to resist. And I'm going to let the devil know and the demons know and my enemies know, and I've let my flesh know I'm resisting. You know what's coming. Resist. Resist. What are you saying, preacher? I'm still in the introduction. I'm saying resist. Convince the enemy that he's in for a battle. That's all Nehemiah did. I'll show you here in a minute. That's all he did. That's what this little passage is all about right here. It doesn't look like it's important, and yet it's crucial in the book of Nehemiah. It's crucial for the walls to get built because the enemy is ready to attack, and they're just waiting. What will they do? What will they do? Somehow I need to convince the enemy, you know what? I'm not an easy pushover here. I'm not a quitter. I'm not one that just gives in real easy here. Hey, devil, I'm here for the I'm here for the long haul here. Let's go. That's what Shema did in that garden. Philistine says, they said, we want your tomatoes. He said, you're not taking my tomatoes. You're not taking my green beans. You're not. I'd fight for a T-bone steak. I don't know that I'd fight for vegetables, but he did. He said, I'm not moving. I am not going to move. You will have to kill me and drag me off of this property. I'm staying here and I'm fighting. And Shamgar and David, and not one of them could do it on their own. They just said, here we are, God. I'm going to tell you and I can't do it on our own either. You're not going to defeat your flesh on your own. Your flesh has pulled you and pulled you and pulled you to do whatever it wants to do. It's done it over and over and over, whether it's looking at wrong things, listening to wrong things, talking about wrong things, or going to wrong places, or doing wrong things. It doesn't matter. Your flesh has pulled on you for a long, long time. You're not going to overcome on your own, but you could at least say, that's it, I resist. Instead of just giving into it all the time. Because God's the one that's going to have to do it ultimately. But he's always done that before. But it's a matter of convincing the enemy, hey, you're in for a battle. Resist. Show you're serious. Resist. We are more than conquerors. Go back to 1 Peter 5. I'm almost through the introduction. Then the message goes real fast. 1 Peter 5, again. We leave this out often. Verse 9. Notice, again, verse 8, he talks about the devil as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may. Don't think that that's the devil playing a game here. He will devour you if he can. He will make you, he will get you addicted to drugs if he can. He will get you addicted to alcohol if he can. He will get you a venereal disease if he can. He will ruin your life if he can. I guarantee you, he will devour you. He will chew you up. He will spit you out. He will stomp on you. He will do that to your kids. He'll do it to your grandkids. He'll do it to you over and over and over and over if you let him. Promise, he'll do it. He will devour you. But notice what it says in verse 9. Whom, talking about the devil, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Boy, that's a powerful verse. Whom resist, it says. Resist him. You say, that's the devil. He's bad. No, no, no. God says, resist him. Stand up to him. Let him know, I resist you. I resist you. I resist the temptation. I resist whatever's going on here. I am resisting you. Let him know. Resist. Steadfast in what? In faith. That's doctrine. Hey, aren't we right or are we not right? Is our doctrine right? Is it true? Is the Bible true? Do we believe it or don't we believe it? Is it the truth? I mean, look, hey, listen, resist in steadfast in the faith. Grab hold of the truth of the Word of God and resist him with that. That is our sword. That is our weapon. Notice what he says here also in verse 9. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Same affliction, same thing. Things you've gone through, things I've gone through, things others have gone through, the attacks of Satan. And you know what? It's all the same thing. He roars, he spits forth his venom toward us and does everything he can to get us, to make us fearful, to cause us to quit and be discouraged. And he just watches. Rah! And then he just watches. Did they flinch? Did they move? Same thing. There is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. Every one of us is tempted. Jesus was tempted in all points such as we, yet without sin. And he resisted. Many go through the same things you do. Many go through worse things, but no one can win on their own. But listen to me. God is faithful. What's he want us to do? Resist. We must resist, and the devil flees. When we resist, the devil flees. Let me get to the message, all right? It is quicker, just 3 points. But look, what the devil, what the enemy, what they heard, it's crucial. 3 things. Number one, Nehemiah placed the people. Notice what he did in verse 13. Here, you have to try to imagine this wall, okay? And the enemy's all gathering out here. And in my mind, I see the campfires at night. And there's hundreds of them, thousands of them. In my mind, I see, maybe you know, I don't know the plane. I'm not sure how that was. But I see their tents all set up. And I mean, they're making their show. They're trying to scare the people behind the wall. But Nehemiah placed the people. Look at verse 13. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall. Now remember, the wall, the Bible says, verse 6, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. And so the wall was not all as tall as it was going to be. So Nehemiah, the Bible says, he set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I set the people. So all the people are covering the wall. But that's not all he did. Notice what he did. The Bible says, I set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And in my mind, I see it a bright, sunny day, and I see all of that armor glistening in the sunlight. And I see Sanballat say, wow, that's a lot of spears. By the way, Sanballat's a sissy. Tobiah is a weenie. Geshem is a milksop. They don't know how to build anything. They just want to take over what somebody else builds. These guys, they didn't want war. They wanted somebody else just to surrender. Do you understand? The devil doesn't necessarily want war. He just wants to scare you into giving in. By the way, when the devil fights the war against the child of God, do you know he always loses? If we just resist, we are more than conquerors. Well, I wish I could conquer this. Well, you don't have to wish you could conquer. You can be more than a conqueror. That's a promise from God. And Nehemiah placed them all along the wall with their weapons, and their armor was gleaming in the sunlight, and from a distance the enemy could see. You know, we have the armor of God. Don't neglect it. Don't ever lay it down. Certainly don't lay your sword down, which is the Word of God. Certainly don't trade it in. Amen. Let the enemy see it. Let the enemy see it. You know, some of you have had the most victorious year of your life because you started in January reading through your Bible. Every day, Satan has seen your sword. Are you listening? He's seen your... You say, well, I've always had my sword. Yeah, but he's seen it out in your hand and you've been reading it. And he can roar all he wants and you've got the Word of God. You've been reading it daily. And you've never done that before. There's folks all over this room. It's the first time. Every day. You've gotten out your sword, and literally you shined it, and Satan sees it. Amen. Don't lay down the sword, the Word of God. Don't trade it in. Let the enemy see it. Nehemiah placed them. He placed them on that wall so the enemy could see we're resisting. Vacation Bible School, we're placing people strategically. With weapons, the Word of God, so Satan can see it. You know what are we saying? We have Vacation Bible School. We're saying, you know what? You can't have our children. You not only can't have our children, you can't have our bus kids either. That's what we're saying when we have Vacation Bible School. And when we have a Vacation Bible School where the Word of God is honored and preached and taught. What are you saying? I'm saying, hey, we're not giving in. We're not giving up. We're not giving up on the children of this county. We're going to keep bringing them. What do we say when we go soul winning? We're saying you can't have the county, devil. We're going to knock on all the doors. We're going to tell them about Jesus. What are we saying? We have the fair ministry. We're saying, you know what? There's still people that want to be saved out there. There's still people that need to be saved. We're going to go tell them about Jesus Christ. We're resisting. Nehemiah placed them. Can you imagine what that looked like? Spears, arrows, swords shining in the light on that wall. Whew, I love it. You know what it looks like to the devil? When 150 people stand up and say, preacher, place me on the wall for Vacation Bible School. Place me, give me my weapon. Let me shine up my weapon and place me on the wall. And the enemy says, I might ought to attack another vacation Bible school. I might ought to understand those people are serious about this thing. That's why you need to be in your spot. I look at the wall often in my mind as I'm studying this, and I think of that wall, and I see all those weapons shining in the light. And I think of a little group decides to go do something else that day. And the enemy says, well, you know, it looks pretty strong, all, but look at that spot right there. I think if we attacked right there, we probably could win. Don't miss your place. Be in your place with your weapon. I say this every year, Vacation Bible School is not about you having a good time if you're a teenager or an adult. It has nothing to do with you having a good time. It is a good time. Serving God, there's nothing greater in all the world. But it's not about you standing around talking to people and learning about the latest gossip and all kinds of stuff. It is all about the children. Every part of it. And the preacher places you on the wall. And we want to let the devil know we're resisting. We're not ready to give all our kids up to drugs yet. We're not ready to give up all the bus ministry to the gangs and the hoodlums and everything. We're not ready for that. We want to keep going. We're going to keep resisting. Be in your place with your weapon. The devil attacks you. Show him your weapon. Get your little slip. You know, the June Bible reading. You got that? Did you turn in the May Bible reading? You got the June Bible reading? And hey, devil, look. Here it is. I've been reading my Bible. June. I'm just about halfway there, devil. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Somebody says, the attacks, they're worse than they've ever been. Resist. Because eventually he is going to flee. Amen. You notice here, it's so interesting. I even set the people after their families. Their families. Family time on the wall. Isn't that good? Hey, kids, get your bow and arrow. Let's go. We're getting on the wall. Preacher said we're going to all assemble on the wall. Of course, the boys are saying, give me a sword, Dad. This is great. They love it. You say, oh, come on, preacher. They wouldn't equip their children with weapons. We equip our children with weapons. That's what Bible school is all about. Try to give them the weapon, the Word of God. I got news for you about this, too. If the enemy breaks through that wall, they're not going to care who the women and children are. They don't care. So when I look at this wall, the way I read the Scripture and what I see in my mind is I see men and women, but they can't see all the men and women and children. All they see is those weapons shining in the light. Nehemiah placed them. Number two, Nehemiah prepared them. Verse 14, by the way, everything on the inside leaked out to the outside, just like what was on the outside leaked into the inside. All the news, all the information. They didn't have the internet back then. Nehemiah prepared them. Verse 14, I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles, to the rulers, to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord. You know, how soon we forget the Lord. Go back to chapter 2, verse 18. Seems like we were there just a few months ago. Chapter 2, verse 18. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. He said, I told them about God and what God had done and how God had provided so we could build the wall. They said, let's go. And the Bible says they strengthened their hands for this good work. You know what? They strengthened their hands. Now Nehemiah is trying to strengthen their heart. I'm going to tell you, you get in the Lord's work, you've got to have a good heart. You've got to have courage to stand. You have to have courage to just keep going. You teach a Sunday school class, you need to stand in the gap for your class. You're a bus captain, you need to stand in the gap for your bus and the route. You're going to serve God? You've got to have heart. He says, be not afraid. Remember the Lord? The Lord? See, preaching and teaching is equipping with weapons to resist. And now we just need people to have the courage to stand. I mentioned Ezekiel. Brother Monroe mentioned Ezekiel yesterday in a wonderful men's prayer breakfast time. Ezekiel sought, God sought for a man to stand in the gap of the hedge that protected the sheep. And in that gap, everything tried to get through, the storm, the wolf, the lion, the bear. But here's the whole idea of the man standing in the gap. He's not alone. There's God. Remember the Lord. Remember, you are not alone. When you're tempted, remember, you're not alone. Oh, I'm just this temptation. It's driving me crazy. But you're not alone. Resist. Resist. Hey, the roar of the lion. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're outnumbered. You're not alone. Pain. You're not alone. Notice what it says. It says, remember the Lord which is great and terrible. Great and terrible. In my mind, I see Him over and over and over again. You know, here I am standing in the gap, and I stand in the gap often. And here I am standing in the gap, and here comes a lion. Now, I'll be honest with you. There are times I might close my eyes. There are times that I might flinch just a little bit in the gap. But in my mind, I see the lion coming ready to pounce. And God, who's there? All He has to do is just hold out His hand. And the lion can do nothing. Do you understand the battle that's going on between the angels and the demons? Oh, it's going on right now. All around us. It is hard even to imagine what all's going on. All God wants us to do is just stand. Take our stand. Show the devil, I'm resisting you, and he will flee. What do you suppose makes him flee? I mean, I think the enemy here, they saw all the glistening of the weapons and everything, and I think that bothered. But maybe the Lord just stood up behind that wall. I don't know. Maybe He wrote something in the sky. You all gonna die. I don't know. I just know that God's got it under control. He's just looking for us to stand. He's looking for us to resist. Nehemiah placed them. Nehemiah prepared them, told them, remember the Lord. And then the last thing, Nehemiah persuaded them. Second part of verse 14, he said, fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your houses. Is there not a cause, David said? See, in my mind, I think maybe the crowd behind the wall or the crowd on the wall, the crowd holding their weapons, maybe one old boy yelled out, you can't have my son! You will not get my daughter! And they all started yelling. At any rate, the enemy heard something. You can't have my house. You can't have my friend. I'll fight for my friend. You'll not get my bus kid. You won't get that child from my Sunday school class. And you know what? Whatever happened and whatever they heard in reference to that, they realize somebody's resisting them. And they backed off. And Nehemiah and the people went back to work. I heard a message back when I was in Bible college. Pastor Bob Taylor preached a series, I believe, on Nehemiah. I wish I had all those notes, but I remember very clearly he talked about building and battling. And that's a little bit later on, verse 18, the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side and so builded. In verse 17, with one hand, one of his hands wrought in the work, with the other hand held a weapon, and building and battling. And that's how it is. You know, as soon as the enemy starts to gather and they start, okay, time to show them. We're serious about this thing. Time to show them. All right. Go ahead. Bring it on. You're going to get shot. Go ahead. We got our weapons ready. And you know, Bible's true. Resist the devil and he will flee. Most of the time, as a roaring lion, he's just looking to see what you're going to do. That's all. He's just looking to see what you're going to do. You go to God, you pray, God, please give me strength. God, help me. But ultimately, you know what? You and I are the ones that have to resist the devil. We're the ones, when the temptation comes, we have to resist that temptation and resist and resist and resist and resist until he flees. And we say, glory to God. Glory to God, I can get back to work. That is the Christian life, by the way. Building and battling.